How long do you need?
About 20 minutes. I have some conclusions and outcomes today, so I can do those at the end.
Excellent.
Yeah, if you wish.
We will now have John again.
We will.
The presentation on an industry view of open source in the secondary software sector. John, please.
Good afternoon. I'll try and get through this quickly. I think, as you've seen today, that open source is actually mainstream now. And we in Calibre, we feel, is one of the three major movements in the future of software. I think, as we saw in the Philips presentation, it's a commercial reality, whether you like it or not. So you're going to have, as Eurocontrol, to do something about it. You can't just simply do nothing. Some of the points I'm making here come from a conference we had about a year back, where we ran a feedback session of pretty well the positives, the negatives, and then the emotional reaction to open source. We had 76 people at this. And this was the sort of, we got a whole bunch of feedback, but when we clustered these, what we actually found was the issues, we grouped them into six. And this is, they were in ranked order. The most important was actually people issues, culture, social, things like that. Second was commercial realities. You know, you want to make a profit, you don't want to get sued, etc. And only third was the actual technology, the tool sets, whether it's Linux or whatever. That came third. The community, which in this case referred both to the open source community and to the wider societal community, came fourth. And then the product, which is rather interesting. And that includes its quality, its features, etc. And our last cluster was actually legal. So I think for all the talk that there is about intellectual property and all the issues around it, it's definitely not a barrier. It's just it's something you have to deal with. And again, I thought the Philips presentation brought that out very well. It's one of the issues you have to deal with, that's it. But it's not a showstopper. I think it's actually being used as a marketing competitive weapon in what's called FUD, fear, uncertainty and doubt, extremely effectively by a certain organisation. But I don't think it's the showstopper that's made out to be. What I've done here, and I've adapted this from a presentation we had before, was start to define what an open source company would be. So what would an open source company be? What would the issues be? And as I say, the biggest one is more social, technical, legal, etc. And what I'd like to do is focus this very much now on Eurocontrol, if you were to go open source. And what I would say to you is, we've been asking all day, should I go open source? Should this be open source? I'd put the question to you the other way. If you're doing something, why is it not open source? Why does it need to be proprietary? Because you're publicly funded. You're supposed to run a sector that's all about collaboration. So I think that's what you've got to ask yourself. So what are the issues if you take that sort of route? Well, let's start with the technical infrastructure, because that's perhaps the easiest. The positives, open source components, you can see the quality. You've increased control because you have the transparency to see the source. And I think the point was made that you can start to actually articulate the standards at the lowest level in that. Software reuse is the big payoff. Hand in hand with open source software is our open standards. You really can't have open standards if you don't open up the source code. They're not the same thing, but they do go hand in hand. The negative issue is, well, reliability. Can you use this for safety critical systems? And particularly the ATM domain, which is an unproven domain for open source. And a big issue is actually, how do you find a solution? I know it was mentioned earlier that you can always find a solution, but as Martin said, you go into SourceForge, there's 100,000 projects, of which over 95% are dead, right? They're interesting little things that happened at one time or another. So how do you find the actual solution that you require? That's not at all easy. Okay, the social infrastructure, I think this is the big positive, and this is why I think you have to ask yourself why not open source, is because you increase cooperation. Because if Eurocontrol declared a policy of it's open source unless there's a good reason why not, that will percolate through. You put that into your contracts and so on. And it'll start to percolate through into a much more open culture. I thought it was very, very interesting on Adacore. It was a simple little line in a contract that has made that company open source. Simple as that. The contract said that they had to be open source and the copyright had to be put into the Free Software Foundation. A little phrase in the contract. And it has created a totally different company from a Microsoft lookalike. So it takes time, but it does change things if you do this. The shared knowledge, which I think the member states in Eurocontrol would want, Now, you'll have to actually look at your own role vis-a-vis these member states and how they may or may not accept that. Perhaps if you were pushing much more open, they may start to accept that too. And then the shared costs and R&D, as we discussed. Okay, the negatives. And I was very interested in the conversation because I was going to bring it up myself. Is the critical issue is communities. We've talked about communities today and as we discussed them and so on. It is not easy to create a community. It takes effort, it takes resources. And I thought it was very interesting listening to the OpenAPC project, because when I went to their website, the first thing they mentioned was that they didn't have resources. So it struck me it couldn't succeed. A community needs money, time, people's time and support. And that's what you've got to do. And as per the discussion we just had, then the communities will come on then. Other people will start to join in, especially if there's this new and much more open approach and people want to be part of it. Or as Martin mentioned, people want to have the fun of being part of it. Then you get the really great programs. You need open source skills, and open source skills are definitely different. And you're just going to get those skills. You either get the training or get the people, but you don't just magically acquire them. And again, that costs resources, it costs time. I'll come back to that later. The negatives, and I think it was alluded to when we talked about the legal issues, was that open source is actually global. It's not European, it's actually global. So, for instance, the US, which is probably okay, but China, India, everybody is going to be in on the act. And your members may not be totally happy about that. One of the big issues in our discussion in the Hague conference was China. Should we really give them all our source code? Did they rip it off and sell it back to us for buttons? The point that came up a number of times about the community is you've got to build trust. And like any relationship, trust is about giving and taking. So, okay, the taking bit is easy enough. You get the free code and all that sort of stuff and people's free time. And what do you give back to the community to make it fun for the people involved?
Because I like Mr. Dieterman, for China, if you improve the air traffic control in China,
yeah,
it's for the benefit of the passengers, for the benefit of the airline.
Okay, well, so it does fit your mission. In The Hague, that was a big issue.
We have no restraint in cooperating with anybody in the world, because it will benefit ultimately the passenger,
everybody,
which is the ultimate client of the system.
Okay, well, that's even more positive then.
So, Ricard?
I've been in the wrong place.
Yeah, so eventually, yes. Of course, we are mainly a European organization, yeah, and the neighboring regions, but still, the air traffic control system is eventually a worldwide system.
That helps.
There's, of course, some benefit in having all these.
Yeah, we will not focus on them and spend specifically for them, but if there are benefits and they use or abuse it, that okay, is good.
But you could also have the support model. The software is free, but if they want to deploy it and you have the expertise and you can help them, then you have to pay. Mm-hmm.
But the China question might have an impact on European community, mm-hmm, because if this China problem does not exist, then for example some of the big European vendors might join your communities. But if they have to expect competition from countries like China during the next years, they might be very reluctant. And China is a very important point because, for example, we developed an open source security system, and about 40-50% of the requests came from China, and also many from India. So they really like European or US open source software.
Well, we do work for air traffic management, not for airlines. So even Chinese airlines flying European airspace will bring benefit to the service providers in Europe. Mm. Now, once they start to produce air traffic management software, maybe the game will start to change.
I think they're likely to do that in the near future, given that China is very rapidly expanding its airline fleet at the moment. And I think that Europe has got a message, or needs to watch out for what Chinese are going to be doing. Now, what approach do we take to that, a defensive one or more open?
Okay, it's interesting. Actually, put China in as a negative or a questionable issue, but it strikes me that perhaps open source in China is a positive. That gives you an entree. If they start downloading or they join a community and start to be active in it.
If you want to sell systems to China, then open source is a positive, because then you're the Americans happy to get any little logic problems in it.
Americans probably fear Chinese logic.
Soviets, according to at least one story, gas pipeline blew up because the Soviets were stealing American technology, and so the Americans deliberately gave them bogus technology.
Okay.
Is that how we got the Windows?
In terms of the legal infrastructure, I think the big issue there is who do I sue and who's going to sue me? And that's bottom line. whether you're Eurocontrol or you're one of your subcontractors or one of your suppliers or whatever. But I think, as I've heard today, you can't just be neutral because you're going to get the open source anyway. And I thought I was very interested in the way Philips are dealing with that, because it's simply a reality and that's it. So you must make a positive out of it. So on the positive side, and particularly for the role of Eurocontrol, there's a strong motivation to be open, collaborative, all that sort of stuff. And it does foster open standards, as I say. On the negative side, there's the ownership mindset, which I think was discussed in others. Patents, I think, are neither good nor bad. There's a discussion about them, but I think the real problem is when they're used as a competitive marketing tool. So I think it's more spurious patents is the problem. Patents as such is perhaps good or bad, I don't know, but the spurious patents is definitely a problem. And copyright, which I think was dealt with quite a bit. So. The biggest problem in the legal infrastructure, I think, is the lack of understanding of the issues involved in open source. I think that's the biggest problem. I was involved in a process talking to a number of companies and so on. What struck me about the major companies is that they have support centres like the one we heard today to support their developers. Because the reality of life is that's what you require. And perhaps that's a role that Eurocontrol could take on for the sector, to provide that sort of support and advice. Because the bigger companies can afford it, because they're big enough, but the little guys can't. Okay, what sort of a corporate environment would be for this open source software Inc. or Eurocontrol? Well, I think, and this is the big positive, as I mentioned about the people issue that came up, there is great job satisfaction in being judged by your peers as an excellent programmer. And as they say, if you want excellent software, get excellent software developers. It's pretty well as easy as that. Or if you want excellent companies, not just people, if you want to subcontract or to recruit excellent subcontractors, get excellent subcontractors. And definitely open source does foster a much more fun environment, an open environment. It attracts the best people and probably more importantly, retains them. It gives rise to flexible employment. I think it's interesting that Eurocontrol is going exactly that way. You used to do your own development, now you're outsourcing it. Your outsourcing will become more flexible. So open source is a way of enabling that, or fostering it. What are the negatives? Well, resistance to change is probably the biggest negative. The ATM sector is the way it is, and people would like it to stay that way. Like I've already said, whenever there's change, somebody has to win, somebody loses. And the folks that lose are perhaps big players in the domain. So there's a resistance to change. There's very much the difference between a meritocracy where you have this community that we spoke about which want to do good things, produce great code, be excellent compared to their peers, versus the business profit motive. Now, interestingly, in your case, you probably would tend towards the meritocracy because that's the role of Eurocontrol. You're supposed to make the air travel safer, so maybe not a negative. And again, the expertise. What I meant by expertise there is expertise at the highest levels. Not so much at the technical levels that I discussed earlier down here, but the high-level decision makers, or in your case, the member state ministers or whatever, who are being lobbied very, very strong by, say, Microsoft, and you get a phone call from Deputy Prime Minister so-and-so, who says, you know, justify this, because this guy has just told me that this 5,000-person factory might be shut down if we go open source. So I think that that lack of awareness, lack of expertise at the highest decision-making level is an important issue. And last but by no means least, in all the examples I've seen so far of successful open source, you'll always find a person, a champion, somewhere who drives it. It doesn't just happen. I think in the examples we saw today, the positives and the negatives, it was either the presence of such a champion or the absence of such a champion. And if you have the champion and you support them, then the community will follow and all the other things will follow. But I think this sort of champion is rather important and needs to be supported. And what you get if you are open source? Well, increased adoption, lower costs, lower barriers to entry. And in the case of ATM, I think that translates into is the smaller companies can participate. And I thought it was a good example today that you can actually submit your code or your improvements. It gets seen that you're really good at what you just did and that then generates service contracts for you. That's a very good marketing approach. Now, that also applies to the Chinese companies. If they show up with a TCAS, that's a fraction of the price, well, you know.
The Russians are doing just that.
Or the Russians or whoever, you know. Unfortunately, it is open. I've said no element of risk, no. I think it's more, the risk can be managed, but there is risk. can be managed. Now, time to market is interesting because I think in your case, time to market is not time to market as in producing a product, but to get the sort of decision cycle down from maybe tens of years down to years or months. As you say, you can't just rush into having safety critical software being changed. The big one, I think, is the unclear business models for each of the various participants. And that's why the incumbents, proprietary software, can actually argue a very, very strong case because they've been at it for years, they know how to respond to tenders, they can win tenders and so on, they can lobby the public and private sectors and so on. Whereas the more innovative new companies need to learn that. The other thing I think is it isn't that open source is good, full stop. And I think you can't just have blind faith in open source. I think what you have is a mix. It's a hybrid. It's open and closed. And I think actually, I would see more, it's software, of which some of it is produced by these open source sort of methodologies, and others is proprietary. And I think that's what came up in a number of the presentations today. That it's not one or the other, it's a mix. But it does actually include open source. This lack of coordination, well, I think you're in the actual position, or Eurocontrol's in the position, that you can provide that sort of leadership. How do you sustain the open source? And again, that goes back to the communities. Somebody has to fund the champion, somebody has to fund the whole process, and so on, and it takes time. What you have to have is a fallback position, which is very much hybrid. So the real world is not about open source or closed proprietary software, it's about a mix of both. Okay, the last thing then on acceptance, well, I think particularly for Eurocontrol, it can invigorate and provide good public relations and a much more open, progressive position in your role within Europe and the member states. The downsides could possibly be that you were rejected by the Libre community. But just because you set up a community doesn't mean that they're going to get all fired up at what you want done. Or, in the case of safety critical, the customers don't accept it. And in your case, it's sort of complicated because your customers are member states and the existing companies who probably stand to lose in open source. So one of the things I put here as a suggestion, that maybe what you do is you use open source to actually create a focal point, a mission that you go for, that gives a direction. And as Kennedy said about going to the moon, you actually make ATM open source. They say, not because it's, as I say here, because it's free or because it's easy, but because to succeed in it, Europe will create a more vibrant industry. And it's up to, I think, somebody like Eurocontrol to make that happen.
Thank you.
We're running out of time, and I fear that we might be losing people. Just before we go into discussion, and Jonas volunteered to draw some conclusions as well, I would, for sure, before anyone leaves, like to thank the people that have been involved today, especially the speakers who prepared so well and who took the time to come here and share their thoughts. Everybody else in the public who gave us additional insight. I also want to thank especially Jean-Luc for setting this up and doing all these organizational and the background discussions with all the people to get the logistics right, to get the topics right and tuned. Thank you very much for all of that. I would like to thank John, but I will wait a month, and I wish him luck in summarizing and reporting on this event. And again, you will receive this. You will receive this on a CD with the material we collected from the presentations as annexed material. Now, for the conclusion. Yes. Or questions first to the presentation we had.
Okay, thanks. Certainly, I would also like to say that was a great meeting. I learned a lot and appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to the next meeting. For the NETS proposal, and I mentioned this already earlier, it came up in several of the presentations. It was a very important point in your last presentation, and hopefully a point of repair for the summary by John. There's high need, I think, to look more closely into all the skilling requirements. Mm-hmm. You mentioned this issue, I would strongly recommend that we have a special event, bring the experts. The whole skilling community should join in a major event, Novell CompTIA rerun, for example, the Linux Plus certification, which is medium level entries, industry standard built by the industry on a global level. Of course, we are not the only ones, there are some competitors, there's a lot of knowledge out there, and we should bring these people into one room and then address these hard questions which have been not sufficient, we didn't have the time, but we should certainly address them.
I think that's a very good recommendation to Calibre calibration, and
yes.
And that reminds me that I forgot to thank them especially as well for co-organizing this event. Thank you. More comments on today or on the last presentation?
Well, just on that point, oh, yes, we actually did have a workshop in Genoa on open source education, and there are a number of master's programs to teach, educate people in open
source. I was involved in the workshop. Yeah. To be the skilling requirement, the change, the paradigm shift.
Not at the industry level, yeah. Not at the industry level.
Sipke, please.
Thank you very much for organizing this, because this, I think, was extremely useful for us, particularly to see the legal possibilities, because we have been getting the impression that this would have been quite constraining. What I would like to say is that in our division where we're working is we are looking really at the transition of where we are today towards the dream future system. That means a paradigm shift in terms of in the introduction of automation in the ATC system. There is very little automation today, and in the future system, the whole system doesn't by itself. So how do we get there? That also indicates, if you look at that level, that the community that we're talking to is very limited. I mean, there are three main players plus Marco. It is not a large community. The three main players are not here today, which I think is an interesting signal. However, we believe ourselves that in order to get the required minimum level of interoperability, we more or less will have to force commonality on the functionality and the technical solutions that these main players will have to provide to the users, the ANSPs, in the end. So even if they are not voluntarily would like to go to a kind of open source within our small community, if we want to change something to bring advances into the ATM system, we, our division in Brussels headquarters, is absolutely convinced that we have to do something here. Now, we have to come to a reasonable cut between what is really profit-making for these companies, where their expertise will be, and what is key for us to ensure that we will have the interoperability. That's to be discussed. So it's not such that we say, well, everything, whatever we do, whole trajectory predictors or whatever you want, tools will be open source. That's not the issue. But there are certain elements which really drive the essence of the interoperability, not only between ground systems themselves, but also between the ground systems and the air systems. So I think there is a big scope for us. And probably, as you already indicated, what you need is some organization or some persons to actually drive this. But there is also a lot of wind against this. The fact that the companies are not here is already a good indication. We have been discussing this already with them for several years. And the individuals that we talk to make a great effort to indicate to us that this is the wrong way to go. That doesn't stop us from simply saying, well, this is your vision, but we have to go.
I would like to put your comment on the behavior of industry in context. We know from other events and experiences, like with the middleware that was reported as well, that they're not easy in taking up open approaches or shared standards and so forth. But for this event, we didn't really invite them very aggressively or really push them to come. We know they had capacity limits, and essentially the target here was to confront the internal projects of Eurocontrol with expertise in open source. That was this stage of this discussion. So we cannot really judge from their absence today, and me, some are present, like Marco, and there were one or two other people there, that was on purpose to boycott this one. That we cannot conclude. But we know that they are generally not sympathetic to an environment which will create more competition, as we have heard a few times before as well. And there are only a few major players in that. But I would be very hesitant to draw too quickly conclusions there.
Well, I wouldn't write it down, so...
well, I'm not sure.
comment on it, that I don't think it's an either-or. And I think it's probably to the benefit of the three major players if the open source approach is adopted. And I thought the Philips presentation really brought that out well, that it's a reality. They've just got to deal with it. The other thing is, I think on the community is what it is now, but if you actually open up a community around projects, it'll attract other people. And in particular, what I think from a European perspective is that open source allows very, very bright people that we have in academia to actually contribute to mainstream commercial software. So I think the community will get a lot bigger and involve different players than you expect. It isn't just the current lab. Thank you.
Can I suggest the ANSPs as a counterweight to the suppliers? Because openness generally benefits the customer at the expense of the supplier. So, yes, the suppliers will be against it because it decreases their power in the market, but by the same token, the customers will be in favour of it.
What you mean, like the member states?
Well, I was actually thinking of people like NATS and AENA and DFS and the other people who actually have to procure and run these systems.
The problem nowadays with the privatization is that, in particular, those institutions that you mentioned are not clients only, they're also suppliers.
Yeah.
You're from NUTS, and in particular, NUTS, of course, is putting up significant problems, and even coming that individuals outside NUTS have a look at what they're doing. You have to sign a piece of paper already that you do not tell to anybody what you see. Not at all sharing them anything else. So they're extremely sensitive to IPR issues. It's a very confused situation that you have. I mean, on the one side, NUTS is our boss. On the other side, it's they're bidding for the contracts that we're putting out.
Yes, I mean, there's two halves to NUTS. There's the NUTS on Route Limited as the primary user of air navigation systems. And on the other hand, there is our commercial wing who bid on contracts and the kind of thing that you're talking about. So, yes, I mean, it depends on which part you're talking to.
But when we talk in our Eurocontrol environment about NUTS, we do not see the difference, because sometimes you see the same man or the same person with different hats on.
I'm not sure this is useful at this stage, but 1 minute, for those who are not so familiar with the whole European agenda and the interoperability issue, it's the single most important advocacy and regulatory issue on the agenda of the European Union. There's every day their activities, and not only in Brussels, but at member state level as well, in Spain, in the Baltics, everywhere. We are everywhere involved. So at the moment we wait for the new communication by the European Commission on interoperability. Perhaps it will come out shortly before Christmas, there are always delays. The next year we will see the revision of the European Interoperability Framework coming out by the ABC. There will be, in the first quarter of next year, there will be finally, with a long delay, there will be the launch of the European Interoperability Center. Perhaps all of you, or some of you, would like to get involved in that. Okay, I can add to that list, but just to make this point, this is high on the political agenda. And the same with the IPR issue, it's perhaps even more important in the longer term, because the most substantial changes on the regulatory side are coming from that side. Therefore, I'm not completely in agreement with this ranking. I was at that event by myself, John, and I tried to contribute to that meeting.
Oh, sorry, that was done by a cluster analysis. It wasn't us just
picking
them.
The ranking would have been completely different if you could have had some patent lawyers or commissioners in the room. For them, these are the most important issues and the most difficult.
I included in the slides actually came from a patent lawyer. He was out there. Right. He was one. Is that the one about the honey?
Long story, just one.
The one who we sue. And who sues us?
Can I? Yes. I feel guilty. I can get another comment. But just one final word of encouragement. Earlier today, I was asking Franco about the existence of competitors for their core product, which is knowledge about the GNAP Pro product. And what I was hearing was that there are people out there who build derivative works and then sell their expertise on those derivative works. There's no one competing with them in their home turf. I don't see that as a negative thing, and I don't see that as a surprising thing, because the core asset of Adecor is a unique knowledge of the space, their particular product. Now, open source started in well-defined horizontal infrastructural spaces. What we're seeing now is a slow emergence into verticals. And so you see things like open source ERP, for instance, starting to emerge. Barrier that prevents open source in the wild from penetrating vertical spaces is a deep knowledge of that vertical space. And so my final word of encouragement for the day is Eurocontrol, whatever other institutional barriers you encounter, whatever barriers you encounter in terms of suppliers and the other partners, the one asset that you're bringing to the table is a unique knowledge, the same as Adecor. And that, I think, is really the key encouragement to say that if you want this to work, you are the only people who can make it work. or one of maybe three or four groups in the world that can make it work because of that unique position. So,
thank you very much, and I would like to conclude with that. I think it's an excellent statement. In the open forum, there is a reception which you are free to join, and there is still the exhibition going. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
See you.
Excellent work.
Thanks a lot.
That's typically
un va le mettre dedans. Didn't you already copy it out of here?
It's already done. Thank you. I'm going to bring you I decided to do that. So, this way, should I write? Yes.